I know you've never done this, but just in case you have you ever wondered why? Why did I get a flat tire on the way to church? I was going to church. Why did I get a flat tire? And I was just about there. Why did the car break down? Why can't I pay my bills? Why did the computer freeze up? Why am I sick with a cold again? Why is the cashier so grumpy with me? Why are those relatives so demanding? Why is there no parking space when I'm in such a hurry and I go into an appointment and I'm late to start with? Why did I get a speeding ticket? Well, you probably know why you got the speeding ticket. But we face these things daily. They are trials and can become giants that want to defeat us. In a sense, these giants, these trials, are only messengers. I don't know about you, but far too often, I don't want to receive the message they bring. Most of the time, we don't think about who sent the messenger, this giant, where did it come from, and or what purpose does it have in our lives? What is it bringing us? I think we can learn a lot from Job about who the messenger was sent by and what the purpose behind the message, finding those things out. So let's listen to how Job 1, chapter 1, verses 1 to 3 describes Job himself. In the land of Uz, there lived a man whose name was Job. This man was blameless and upright. He feared God and shunned evil. He had 7 sons and 3 daughters, and he owned 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 donkeys, and had a large number of servants. He was the greatest man among all the people in the East. So to put it in today's world, he was very wealthy. In fact, he would be wealthy like somebody like Bill Gates or some multi-billionaire. He would be one of the wealthiest people in the world. He was blessed. He knew God and he was blessed by God. And then Job receives a messenger. Well, several messengers. Listen to Job chapter 1, verses 14 to 19. A messenger came to Job and said, "The oxen were plowing and the donkeys were grazing nearby, and the Sabaeans attacked and carried them off. They put the servants to the sword, and I'm the only one who escaped to tell you." While he was still speaking, another messenger came and said, "The fire of God fell from the sky and burned up the sheep and the servants, and I am the only one who escaped to tell you." While he was still speaking, another messenger came and said, "The Chaldeans formed 3 raiding parties and swept down on your camels and carried them off. They put your servants to the sword, and I am the only one who has escaped to tell you." While he was still speaking, yet another messenger came and said, "Your sons and daughters were feasting and drinking wine at the oldest brother's house when suddenly a mighty wind swept in from the desert and struck the 4 corners of the house. It collapsed on them, and they are dead. I'm the only one who has escaped to tell you." All that loss in such a short time is hard for us to fathom. Job lost everything. All his material possessions, all his sheep, all his cattle, all his donkeys, all his camels. He lost it all. He lost all his servants, except for a few that were able to escape and come and deliver the bad news to Job. And above all that, he lost his children. What a message to receive. But as large as Job's giants were, they are no bigger than the giants that we face. Giants are giants. What might be a giant to me might be like an ant to you. And what might be an ant to you, a giant to you, might be an ant to me. We all face giants, and they're all real. We face them in our daily lives, and giants are giants. When we read Job, we see that at the very beginning of Job, we see that Satan comes, and he comes into the presence of God, and they're talking, and God says to him, and God's talking to him about Job, and he says, "Do you know my servant Job? He's a righteous man, and he's doing good. He honors me. He serves me." And Satan says, "He serves you for one reason and one reason only. He serves you because you've blessed him. You've given him all the riches and all the things that he could ever want. That is the only reason he serves you. If you took all that away from Job," Satan said, "he wouldn't serve you. He would turn from you in a moment." Now, you need to know that's all paraphrased in Scott's words. You can read it in Job chapter 1. And Satan goes from God's presence, and we've read what he did. He struck Job's camels. He struck the sheep, the donkeys, the herds, the servants, his children, took everything from him. Satan was not allowed to touch Job physically. God says, "You can take anything you want from him. I will allow you to do that, but you can't touch him physically." And as Satan has taken Job's children and all he owns, we see Job's response in chapter 1, verses 20 to 22. "At this, Job got up and tore his robe and shaved his head. Then he fell to the ground in worship and said, 'Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will depart. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised.' In all this, Job did not sin by charging God with wrongdoing." Job worshiped God and declares that the Lord is in complete control of his life. Can you imagine? The giant comes, the messenger comes, and takes all that, and Job worships God and declares that God is in complete control. It is the Lord who gives, and he has the right, if he so wants, to take away, Job is saying. Job is not calloused here. He's not a calloused man and has no feelings for his children. I'm sure he was grieving terribly for his children, or he wouldn't have tore his clothes. He's in pain. But he knows that there is no other place to go at this time than into the presence of the Lord. He worshiped the Lord. And if that's not bad enough, you can read on after that scripture of all that Satan had taken from Job. And we read on that Satan comes into the presence of God again. And God basically says, "You know, look, my servant Job, he stood the test." And Satan says, "Yeah, well, he stood the test. That's fine and good. But if I touch him physically, he won't stand the test." And so the Lord says, God says, "You can go and test him physically, but you cannot take his life." So Satan goes out and he afflicts Job with sores all over his body, from the top of his head to the soles of his feet. In fact, if you read, he's sitting on a pile of ashes, scraping with a piece of pottery the sores. That's how painful they were on his body. But listen to Job's wife and his reaction to the second message, the second giant in Job. We read in Job chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. His wife said, "Are you still holding on to your integrity? Curse God and die." He replied, "You are talking like a foolish woman. Shall we accept good from God and not trouble?" In all this, Job did not sin in what he said. We see again that Job knows where the message comes from. He knows God is in control. I am sure he is not really pleased with what is happening, but he is not focused on the messenger. He is not focused on the message which has been delivered. He is focused on the one who sent the message. He's focused on the Lord. We read in Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." The word anxious here means to be overly concerned or worried. Do you hear what Paul is writing here? Don't be worried. Don't be overly concerned about the little things. No, he says, don't be overly concerned. Don't be worried about anything. Anything. This is a little hard for us to process. I mean, what about when we're out of money and the bills are still coming in? What about when somebody has stolen our credit cards, or even worse, maybe our identity? Or if someone hit our car in a parking lot and they didn't leave any information, they just drove off and there's all that damage to our vehicle. We're not supposed to be worried or overly concerned about those things? What about when the giants are so real, how is it possible not to worry? Well, it's only possible when we, like Job, can look past the message, past the messenger. It's only possible when we go to the one who sent the messenger and see the goodness, see his goodness. When we go to our Heavenly Father, that's the only possible way we cannot be anxious about things. Paul is saying here, don't be anxious, don't worry about the message or the messenger. He is encouraging us to go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. He says, by prayer and petition and thanksgiving, present your requests. Take it to God in prayer. Go to the one who sent the message. And he says, we will find peace that we need to go through what we're going through. Peace that transcends all understanding. Transcends. Goes past. Goes beyond what we can think or imagine. A peace that's there in the middle of the storm. A peace that is there as we go through the trial, as we eventually defeat the giant. Is this not the story of the whole Bible? God wisely placing in our paths, in the paths of his children, those things, those trials which bring about his purpose and his plan? I mean, we don't always agree with his purpose and his plan, but it is the best. In Psalm 37, verse 23, in the ESV version, declares, "The steps of a man are established by the Lord when he delights in his way." Our Father establishes, orders, directs our paths to bring about his plan, his purpose, which is best for our lives. Yet we want to resist the message. Remember, we talked about the challenges that the message brings, really, the challenges, and we want challenges that, last week we talked about how the challenge that we want challenges in our lives, but only challenges that we can we can overcome, that we know we'll have victory. We don't want challenges that are beyond what we might go through. Yet as we want to resist the message, the giant, as we see it, it's what the Father has sent to us. He has ordered it for our good. Far too often, we respond like Job's wife did and not like Job. Curse God. Like the trials here, curse God. It's too much. Give up your integrity. Walk away from this. I'll tell you, the giants can be big. I wish I wasn't preaching the message on the giants, because I've told you many times, whatever I seem to speak on Sunday is what I have to live during the week. And the giants come, and they're big. But listen to Isaiah 58, verse 11. The Lord will guide you always. He will satisfy your needs in a sun-scorched land and will strengthen your frame. You will be like a well-watered garden, like a spring whose water never fails. The question is, has the Father sent us to a sun-scorched land? Has he sent us a sun-scorched message, one that is basically drying us up? Everything inside us. He will give us what we need. In fact, the Lord will strengthen us through the trial. He will become what we need so we can become a well-watered garden. What does a well-watered garden look like? Lush and green, or a flower garden with beautiful flowers. That's what God wants to give us in the middle of the sun-scorched land. In the middle when the giants are huge and tall, He will give us what we need to face the giants. That's why we need to go past the message, past the messenger, to the one who sent the message. He sends it so we grow to be more like Him. Remember what Job said after he lost everything? The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. Is that the way we see things when things come in our way? When we see struggles, do we say the Lord gave and the Lord has taken away? I would venture to say we are probably more likely to say the Lord gave and Satan is taken away. And we give Satan the credit for building our lives. Job understood that all things come from God, whether it's the sunshine, the rain, the storm, or the giant. He knew God's purpose for him was good. In the midst of all that, what did he do? He worshiped God. When the messenger brings the giant to us, we must first of all look past the messenger to the one who sent the message, to our loving Heavenly Father. We must realize the message which the Father sends are messages which are best for us, ones that will further the kingdom of God and fulfill His purpose and His plans in our lives. The outcome of the message will bring glory to God. Think about this. Think about Judas Iscariot. We all know Judas Iscariot. He was one of Jesus' 12 disciples. He was a thief, and he was a betrayer. There is no question that in the end, Satan entered Judas, and through that time, Judas did evil, and he betrayed Jesus. But there is no question that Judas, who at this time is serving Satan, was really fulfilling the plan of God to bring salvation to man. I mean, really? Can you think There's many times when we go, I don't want that giant in my life. Can you think what would have happened if Jesus had said, I don't want that giant in my life? Don't give me that giant. I'm not accepting that giant. But if Jesus had done that, where would we be today? We wouldn't be here. And it wasn't easy. Jesus said, look, God, this is really hard. This giant is big. In fact, take him away. But he went past the messenger and the message to the one who sent the message and said, take the giant away, but not my will, but your will be done. Is that our prayer when we come against the giant? Not my will, but your will be done. Even as powerful as Satan is, we need to realize he cannot operate outside the permission of God. He needs God's permission to do anything. He became only the messenger. That's all Satan was the messenger. God is the master. Jesus didn't like the message, but he went past the messenger to the one who sent it. The Lord knew what Job needed. And in Job chapter 42, so we're at the other end of the book of Job now. Man, if I could read through the book of Job that fast, I'd be happy. We're at the other end of the book of Job, and in Job 42, verse 5, listen to Job's words. My ears had heard of you, but now my eyes have seen you. In other words, Job is saying, your message is just what I needed. I not only heard what you had to say to me, but I see you for who you are. I see you in the glory. I see you as majestic as you are. I see you as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I see you as the one who knows all about me. And if you read the entire book of Job, you'll find that Job gets double back everything. And he has more children as well. For us, the message might be our neighbor who gets under our skin. So we really learn what unconditional love is, so we can be more like Jesus. Or the message might be we become a huge expense comes into our lives unexpected. So we learn that our Father in heaven provides all that we need, not want, but what we need. And he will provide for us as we trust in him. Or we do something special for someone, but no one seems to notice. What's that all about? Well, maybe it's so we will get over our pride and be more like Jesus, humble servant. For every trial, every giant, there is a purpose for it in our lives. We need to look past the messenger and the message to the one who sent it and ask the Father, ask God, ask Jesus, what is the purpose behind this message? What is it all about? The messenger is going to bring messages, giants. We're going to get them. Folks, without a doubt, just like last week, I said giants are real, messages are real, they're going to come, and we might not like them, and they might be tough to face. So what giant of a messenger are you facing today? Has he arrived carrying a message that we're basically saying, I don't want that? I told you the story about how I struggled in addiction, and I went around and I would come to this one spot and God would say, you need to go down this road. It was the message. You need to go down this road. And I'd say, it's too rough. I can't go down that road. No, I don't want it. And God, in his kindness and his graciousness, said, okay. And he let me wander around again. And I got back to that same spot again. And he said, you need to go down. And that went on for a number of years. Finally, I got to that spot and I went, yes, you know what's best for me. And he took me down that road. It was rough. It was hard. It was a sun-scorched land. But he left me with all I needed and walked with me through it. I'd like to say I look like a well-watered garden, but you probably wouldn't agree. It probably doesn't look like that. But first we need to look past the messenger, whether it's our neighbor, a friend, a stranger, or even Satan. We must look past the messenger to the one who sent the message. May we look to the Lord, our Heavenly Father, for the strength and peace, peace that transcends all things in the midst of our trial, in the midst of the giant. We also need to look for what we can learn from the message. How will it make us more like Jesus? And most of all, how will it further the kingdom of God? We might not always know the answer to those questions, but we know because God loves us and he has nothing but our best interest that the trial of the giant will bring us closer to the Father and will bring glory to the Father. Have we heard and seen the Lord through the messenger and the message, through the giant? May we receive the message and be able to say, as Job said, my ears have heard of you, but now my eyes have seen you. May we be able to give thanks for the message and the messenger, even in those hard times. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for my friends. I thank you for the message and the messenger. And Lord, there's times in this past week when I didn't want to hear either from the messenger or the message. But I thank you that you are faithful and you continue to bring us to that place gently to where we can yield and defeat the giant in our lives. And Lord, sometimes I know the message isn't quick. It doesn't just happen over a 24-hour period. Sometimes it's months. As for Myrna, she's going to be in rehab for a long time. But Lord, we know that the message will only make us stronger in the kingdom of God. It will only make us to be more like Jesus, to see the glory of the Father in his goodness to us. Thank you, Father, for all you do. In Jesus' name, amen.